tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 5:05 with Rob and Souk.
Okay.
Hope you're doing great. Having a good Monday. We're having a good Monday over here.
It's going to be beautiful for like the next 10 days. I think we get a little rain tomorrow, and then we got like another week and a half of 50 and sunny.
All right.
The new San Diego.
Coming up, we'll get back to our college football discussion, which we failed to finish from earlier, and the idea of Oregon patterning itself and its identity after Alabama. It doesn't seem to be working out quite like it does in Tuscaloosa, but...
Rome wasn't built in the day.
That's right.
You know, it is kind of adorable, though, that...
Hey, we want to be Bama. Yeah, so does everyone.
Yeah, it's the best college program ever.
What was the final score of that Alabama game?
24-0.
God.
It was 21-0 at the half. Believe it or not, Mississippi State actually played good defense down the stretch.
Well, they have a bunch of studs on D. I was watching that in the first half.
That was the second ranked defense in the country. And Alabama went through them like Swiss cheese in the first half. And then the second, they bowed their back and Alabama got conservative. And, you know, the one thing you can say about Alabama, if something's going to derail this season, that Tua knee feels like it's one weird play away from being blown at any moment.
Yeah, but you don't think is Hurts gone?
Well, no, but he had ankle surgery. And so he can't.
So he is gone.
Well, he's their emergency quarterback right now. They've got the redshirt. There's a redshirt or a true freshman. I forget which one. But they got a freshman who's the backup, number 10. I forget what his name is. And then Hurts is
he's probably a five-star.
Yes. And then Hurts is the emergency quarterback. But I don't know why they call him an emergency. The last 2 weeks, they've shown him warming up. He can't even jog. But he is in uniform. So eventually, he'll be fine. But Tua hurt himself celebrating the previous week against LSU. He did a little chest bump and hurt his knee. And I've seen probably 3-4 times this year on random plays against, you know, teams where he gets up and it's not right. I mean, that knee is clearly bothering him. And so if you want something that could derail Alabama, it's the knee of Tua.
Well, then instead of winning the championship game 41-0, they'll only win 19-0.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
It's a valid,
maybe even 23-0.
It is a valid point.
Dude, they are so good. Anyway, we'll get back to the college football talk. We'll also take a look with 2 weeks left in the regular season. 4 of the 8 Power 5 divisions are up for grabs, and we'll take a look at that. In the club tonight, would you like...
Yes.
Oh, yes. I know what I was going to tell you.
What do you got?
I have Morrissey news.
Yes. Yes.
Like the singer Morrissey?
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Well, he's still alive.
Okay.
And he's still singing, and he has been in the news for some stuff going on at his shows.
Well, I have not seen hot Morrissey news.
I'd like to start a Morrissey discussion.
But let's do it.
Also, would you like a skyscraper suspended by an asteroid? Would you like that?
I don't even know where to go with that.
Would that tickle you?
No, I think that would terrify me, but I'm intrigued by it.
It's a real thing, and it can move. It can move around because it's suspended in the air. So what if there was a skyscraper right out your window here? You were looking out there, and right across the Willamette, there's a skyscraper suspended by an asteroid. And then tomorrow, it's in Seattle.
Wow, I really...
what do you think about that?
I don't know what to make of that. I also have hot marriage news.
Great.
Because I, you know, what is it?
I love marriage.
2 weeks ago. Do you really?
Yeah. It's a wonderful entity.
Yeah. And you encourage everyone else to do, right?
No, I don't think you should do it.
But it works for you.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's great for you. Just not for anyone else.
Bliss.
So I ask you this. I'll pose this question to you. So
I think we need to phase it out is what I'm saying. Look, it's great, but everything runs its course.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I brought you ghost marriage news.
Yes.
I've got one that may be worse than ghost news.
You mean somebody marrying something worse than a ghost?
I'm not certain if this is better or worse, but I would like to pose it because a man from Japan has married... Well, he's married something.
Probably a robot.
No.
Skyscraper?
Much like the ghost, it's nothing that you could touch or actually have an interaction with, but he married it.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure which one is worse.
I did see that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about that. That'll be the club 6 to 7 right now, Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Ah. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Ah. Never, ah, ah, ah.
Number five.
Well, we've got Monday Night Football tonight.
Kinda.
And it's the Giants and the Niners.
Well, at least we get the greatness that is
Eli Manning.
No.
Oh.
No.
Nick Mullins.
There you go. There's only one man and one man only that people care about in this game.
You know what?
And that is the greatness that is Nick Mullins.
Can I profess that I won't watch this?
You won't watch any of it?
Probably not.
You're not at all intrigued by Nick Mullins.
Not at all, no.
They've got the Paradise High School football team running around down there.
Yeah, well, they don't. I mean,
does that do anything for you? Well, it's like a feel-good story, right?
I think that's... Well, it's not really a feel-good story. It's a sad story. Their whole town is burned up.
But the fact that they're
they don't have anywhere else to go. Might as well go to the game.
The kids are smiling and they're running around. It's kind of a little bright spot amongst the chaos.
Mullins doesn't do much for me, but the Giants certainly don't do anything for me, and neither team is any good, and it's not for anything, so therefore I don't care. But I'll probably watch. You're right.
There's nothing on.
You're right.
You'll go home, you'll crack a bottle of wine, and you'll watch the greatness that is Nick Mullins. Or is it Mullins? It's not Mullins, right? I think it's Mullins.
It's Mullins.
It's Mullins? There's an S?
Yeah, Nick Mullins.
Okay. Rookies of the Year in Major League Baseball. In the American League, it is Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, even though he went down with an elbow injury as a pitcher. Remember, he's Babe Ruth.
Now, he's having surgery, right?
You know, I don't know.
I think he was having Tommy John.
Well, at first they said that he wasn't, but you may be right that he ended up having it. I'm not sure. But, you know, he was pretty good with the stick as well. He had, 326 at-bats, hit .285 with 22 bombs, 61 RBI, and then when he pitched, where's his pitching? You have his pitching stats over there?
I don't. I was looking up, and he is going to have... so he might have already had it. Said that Ohtani will have Tommy John surgery at the start of the offseason.
So he's out all of next year.
Yeah.
But as a pitcher, he had an ERA of 3.3 in 10 starts. He was good.
Yeah. Is it weird to you that he won a major award having missed 2 months of the season?
Yes, it is. Who are the others in the AL Rookie of the Year race?
Well, now I'm going to sound extra biased, but it was Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
I think Andujar should have won it, but again, I'm a Yankee.
They're saying that he may be able to DH next year.
Yeah.
And that so he wouldn't play in the field.
Well, he played this year.
Yeah, and he won't pitch, but they're saying that there is a chance that he does hit next year. But yeah, he's already undergone the surgery.
And in the National League, it is Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah,
and he went, he hit .293 with 26 bombs for Atlanta.
No surprise there. He was dynamite.
He was dynamite definitely in the second half. He started a little slow. But he's only 20.
And then the other kid was the guy from the Nationals. But for a while, who's the...
What other kid?
The kid from the Washington Nationals.
Soto?
Yeah, Soto.
Or what? Yeah,
yeah, Soto. Juan Soto.
Yeah, Juan Soto.
He was kind of good.
Yeah, for a while there, they were kind of the toast of the National League.
CJ McCollum, Western Conference Player of the Week.
Number two.
Yeah, baby.
My Portland Trail Blazers.
Your Blazers. Unstoppable. They've won 10 of the first 13. Now they have a 6-game road trip starting Wednesday. They are at L.A. Against the Lakers, at Minnesota, Washington, the Knicks, Bucks, and Warriors.
Big win against the Bucks, and then another huge win against the Celtics the other night.
Cooper Kupp, dead.
No, not dead.
Not dead, out for the season. Torn ACL.
Have they confirmed that? I saw.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, they confirmed it.
Yeah, because I saw that they. I mean, they said as much afterwards that they knew it was a torn ACL, but I hadn't seen the confirmation.
Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp out for the season. How about this news? Bills release Nathan Peterman.
What?
I wonder why.
Why would they do that?
We will break that down in our next segment.
delve into the greatness that is Nathan Peterman?
He is historically one of the worst quarterbacks of all time.
Is there any...
I think he's the worst. Isn't
no,
there...
look up Kim McQuilkin. He is above Nathan Peterman on all of the bad quarterback things that we've found. So
is that a female?
No.
The Quarterback Princess, starring one Helen Hunt, which, by the way, is a fine movie from the 80s.
There's Kim, yeah. What years did he play?
Number one.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Passer rating of 17.9.
What's Nathan Peterman's?
I've got it right here. Hold on one second.
Is there any chance, and I mean this, like any chance
Nathan
he gets
Peterman's
signed?
Passer rating is...
32.5. Oh, dude. He almost doubles McQuilkin. How bad is McQuilkin? And the answer to your question is no. Also, in the NFL, Saints signed Brandon Marshall because Dez Bryant ripped up his Achilles. The Bengals fired their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they got 51 laid on by the Saints.
And Hugh Jackson is moving to the Cincinnati staff. You know, the Browns fired him. The Bengals are going to snatch him up, and he is going to be on their staff. They just don't know what his title is going to be. And then Ronald Darby, if you watched last night's game, Eagles corner, out for the season, torn ACL, big blow to them. And number one is that Paul Allen, we're learning a little bit more, just a little bit of information about what's going on with his estate as it pertains to the Seahawks, not the Blazers, but this from Como up north. Proceeds from an eventual sale of the Seahawks will go straight to the foundation of late owner Paul Allen. So the future of the Seahawks has been in flux since his death, and the Seahawks will be eventually sold. There is, of course, no sale imminent, but the belief is that the franchise will be up for sale very soon.
Because there was some that said that if one of the franchises was going to be held onto by the Allen estate or by, you know, Vulcan, that it would be Seattle, not the Blazers.
And in this story, they are saying that if when they sell, the proceeds will go to Allen's foundation, which is the Paul G. Allen Foundation. This news, according to the NFL Network.
And so one could assume that if the Seahawks are being sold, that the Blazers may be shortly there behind.
Seahawks Forbes value, $2.58 billion. But my God, they would sell for way more than that.
Yeah, I know. Like once, right? So if they're valued at 2.5, do they go, what, are we talking?
Four or five?
Talking $3.5-4 billion?
I think four or five, bro.
Yikes.
That's what I'd pay.
It's just if you had the money laying around.
No, I may make an offer, but... Probably won't be that high.
No. Just lowball him, get the bid starting.
Yeah, what do you think now, Paul? Think about that?
Yeah, it's valued.
What do you think, Jody?
It's valued at 2.5. I'm coming in at 2.4. Deal with it.
2,400.
Oh, yeah.
2,400.
See what they counter with.
The Hot 5 and 5 refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab Frostbrewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. All right, let's get back to our college football discussion coming up next on The Fan. What were the old balls like?
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Nick Mullins, 2 for 2, 7 yards.
The greatness continues.
Boom. And yes, that is better than Nathan Peterman. Mike was, okay, so the Bills cut Nathan Peterson. Then we're going to get Peterman. Did I say Peterson?
I don't know. But
you
it's
weren't
Peterman.
Even listening.
You we stopped in the middle. You said Peterson.
Peterson, and does it really matter? I call him the J. Peterman catalog. It doesn't matter. He's terrible.
Nathan Peterman, cut by the Bills.
Matt Barkley, on the other hand, soon to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how about that?
Next year's Super Bowl, can't we clearly see that it's going to be the 49ers and the Bills, led by one Nick Mullins and Matt Barkley?
Well, what's funny is Matt Barkley is third worst in interception percentage, second worst ever behind Nathan Peterman.
Really?
He laid 41 on the Jets.
Wait a minute. Seriously? They went and signed. So they, what are the Bills doing?
So it's an advanced passing stat called interception percentage plus. Number one, AKA worst overall, Nathan Peterman. Number two, Matt Barkley.
So they were like, Peterman, dude, your interception percentage plus is killing us.
Can't do it.
You know what we got to do? We got to go get the second worst internet percentage plus interception crap guy.
And it worked.
Makes no sense.
They laid 41 on him.
It did work. That's how bad Peterman is. Holy crap. This is mind-blowing. And
by
then
the way,
this,
if anything's going to get Todd Bowles fired, it's going to be that.
This Kim McQuilkin guy is the only quarterback who has a worse passer rating.
What?
His name's Kim McQuilkin, and he played in the 70s for Atlanta. And he's the only guy with a worse quarterback rating than Peterman of all time, career. And his quarterback rating is 17. I mean, Peterman almost doubles him. This dude, he completed his best season. He completed 43% of his passes.
Wow.
His worst, 33%.
Did he just play the 1 year?
No, three seasons. Well, he played 5 years, but three seasons where he threw a significant amount of passes.
He played for the Redskins and then the Washington Federals.
Four touchdowns, 29 interceptions. That is an interception percentage of 10.7%.
A quarterback rating, a robust
17.9.
Hey, don't forget the .9. You round up, that's an 18. I want to see what this guy looks like.
One of my good friends is a big Bills fan, and he goes, can't wait for them to get Kim McQuilkin on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at him. He's a handsome devil.
Yeah, he looks like he owns either an insurance company.
Yeah.
Or he probably dabbles in stocks.
I can see that. And I'm guessing that he's a Scotchman, too.
He's a hedge fund guy.
Yeah, there's a high-end Scotch in his future.
He'll manage your money. Well, okay, so... back to college football, and if you missed any of our show from earlier, you can podcast everything at 1080thefan.com. We had a lot of good college football talk. We got stuck on Oregon, then we had to move on because we had our stock watching in the news, but we were talking about how Oregon is trying to pattern itself after Alabama.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but not so funny. Like, it's funny because nobody's Alabama, and it's like, come on, what do you think, you're going to be Alabama?
Well, that was the part that sometimes I rolled my eyes about. You know, the Duck fan would be like, well, we finally have a coach that wants to be physical, and that's the only way you win. As if somehow they're trying to reinvent the wheel by being physical and good along the line of scrimmage. Like,
no
one else in the country has figured that part out.
No, but it's just the idea that it was always the missing piece with Oregon when they played the elite teams.
I understand that, but it's just like...
And it's more sustainable.
We had this bizarro sort of... Like feeling amongst Oregon fans that somehow the jet age secret of Alabama had been cracked by recruiting big guys up front.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just that's something Oregon never had, and it was the missing piece, and they needed it. And this guy is an offensive lineman, played at Miami, coached at Alabama. He's a hell of a recruiter, and he is. I mean, at least early on, he is bringing in some more beef up front, and that is exciting. Except that. And they've had some injuries. They're not doing anything with it. And that's why I wanted to ask you about Alabama's offense. Like, I mean, I get building from the trenches out. Like, that's what you're saying. It's like, call Ripley's. It's not new.
Yeah.
But at the same time, hasn't Alabama become so much more multidimensional over the last 5 or 6 years? I mean, it feels like they have a new offensive coordinator every other year.
Yeah, they said that it started with the kick six game against Alabama with the RPOs, and that Nick Saban supposedly after that game was like, look, if people aren't going to call, you know, linemen downfield and they're going to allow this to go on, he goes, we're going to get on board with it. But yeah, it was that game where
he did.
He went and got Lane Kiffin, and their offense changed. He decided to become multiple, more spread out, more shotgun, and they weren't just going to sit there and try to run 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
So that's my thing, is you're patterning an identity around an identity that doesn't even exist. Even the coach that had that identity thought that they needed a new identity.
Yeah.
What am I to do with that?
And also this idea that you can recreate that. I understand wanting to be more physical, and I understand wanting to recruit better offense and defensive linemen. I just think at times the message that is being sold is one that people get really excited about, but at the same time, it's nothing new. It's you're telling me that when you had the Max Ungers and Jeff Schwartz and Haloti Ngata and guys like this, that Chip Kelly said it best when they played LSU. I don't want small, like, fast guys. I want big, fast guys. They're just really hard to find. So if he can deliver upon those guys, great. But if you sit there above all else and you value that you're just going to be physical and you're going to be single-minded in your approach and refuse to evolve or be multiple, then yeah, I think that in some ways that can be a very dangerous thing. And if you just have this, the blinders on, and you say, this is the only way we're going to do this, because there's very few teams in college football, there's very few teams in football in general now that can take one philosophy and just kind of go balls to the wall with it, as opposed to being multiple and being able to adapt.
Isn't that the way it looks now, though?
A little bit.
Because you watch them on offense and they're predictable and they run into the brick. They run into the box, a stacked box every time.
Yes.
It's like maddening.
It does feel that there is a real lack of
switch it up.
There is a real lack of identity right now on this football team, and the one that you're trying to create,
it's just not there.
It doesn't seem to be working, and maybe that is because of the injuries along the offensive line. But this rough physical game hasn't really worked since Washington. And to be honest with you, if Washington kicks a field goal, we're sitting there after that game being like, "What the hell were they doing? Sitting there trying to grind out a game when you have Justin Herbert." Maybe it's a case of not having enough receivers. Because right now, when you look at targets, Mitchell is being targeted almost as much as the rest of the receivers are combined, and they're more productive when they do throw to him. We're all sitting here saying that they need to get the ball to other people. The reality of it is maybe they should just keep throwing to Dylan Mitchell because he's the only one that's doing anything.
Yeah, but then haven't you seen a lot of offenses in college that spread the love regardless of
yes.
of the talent?
And they you are know? Not. And Oregon
not.
Is not.
And that's where I think people are like, come on, man. You don't have to have a stud at every position to be good on offense.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The Oregon made a living off of this for years.
Yeah.
And that's why I think these fans, I mean, they watched some pretty damn good offenses over the years, so they're a bit spoiled by that. But some of the stuff that they saw, spread in the field, a quarterback that can, a la Mariota, different, but a la Mariota, Herbert, who's very smart and can make the right reads. Like, it's all there. You have enough speed. You have enough talent. Why is their offense so horrible? They had 7 points at half.
58 yards, I think, in the first half.
Unbelievable. Yes. And then Utah,
up
who's
on the field on.
They're a horrible offense anyway, but they lose their quarterback and their star running back, and they drop 32.
Yep.
How does that happen?
And they should have dropped 50, to be
honest
with you.
I just don't understand that.
Well, right now you have an offensive line that can't open holes and they can't get to the second level. You have running backs right now that look like freshman running back. I did think in the second half they did a better job of stop trying to run in between the tackles and get to the edges a little bit.
No, you're right. They did.
And they went away from the pistol. They moved more to an offset.
And lo and behold, they scored more points.
It worked. Troy Dye was able to run the ball a little bit, and he was a nice guy, an addition for you in the fourth quarter. I thought he helped wear down the Utah defense. But right now your offense basically consists of Justin Herbert and Dylan Mitchell. And outside of that, it's a very plain offense. And even Stanford, I think, in some ways has gone away from this. You know, this idea of just being a physical team, I think Oregon holds on to that far too long in games, and they're better when they run a little tempo and they fall behind and they need to get a little desperate. And I don't understand why some of that isn't showing up in the first half, because this is about a month straight of horrible first halves. Take some of the urgency that you have in the second half and move that into the front. Which I don't understand, because again, that should be scripted.
Hallelujah.
You should be better prepared. And it's amazing to me that you're coming out in the first half of these games and it's taking you 3 quarters plus in order to get your offense moving at all.
True story.
I agree with you, man. So text the better you today. Text line 55305. Coming up, I think each team in the top 10 won. In college.
Yeah, I don't think there was any real upsets, right?
Nothing
Oklahoma
major.
Pulled it out.
Nothing major.
No, I think everything should stay pretty status quo.
So with 2 weeks left, 4 of the 8 Power 5 divisions are up for grabs. We'll get to that coming up next.
And by the way, I looked up our boy from Atlanta, the quarterback. He's a wealth management guy.
I told you.
Yeah. I found him on Twitter, and he runs the Spend Management Experts Group.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. You were spot on, my man.
All right, here's Mike with sports.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Bad news. Nick Mullins, interception.
Wasn't his fault. It was tipped.
Oh, man.
Nick Mullins can do no wrong.
By the way, Big Souk doing some research on Kim McQuilkin.
Yeah.
The NFL's worst quarterback career QBR.
Not only does he run like a wealth management group, I found this photo of him on the sidelines at Autzen Stadium. I was like, why the hell is he at Oregon? He's one of the representatives of the Peach Bowl. So he flies around on private jets and goes to strip clubs as he scouts teams to play in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, and I see on that photo he has hots under each arm.
Yes.
This guy, I like a cut of McQuilkin's jib.
He's got a fine head of silver, like kind of the salt and pepper hair. He's got that strong quarterback jaw.
Look, the guy's had a good life.
He's doing just fine.
And that's the thing. It's like we make fun of Nathan Peterman. We make fun of Kim McQuilkin. Dude, they played professional quarterback.
Exactly. And no one, when he tells people that he played in the NFL, no one asks if you were the worst quarterback of all time. He just says, I was the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and now I'm a rich old guy.
I would like to do an interview with him, though. You think he has a sense of humor about his QBR?
Well, let's have Mike, if you're paying attention in there, Mike.
Let's talk to the guy.
Find, he's on Twitter.
I am looking at his Twitter page right now.
Yeah, reach out to him and see if he'll come on.
I'd like to talk about why he sucked.
I'd like to just see his life in general, because I'm guessing his life has been great.
All right. Where were we? Oh, texts. Better you today. Text line is 55305.
He played at Lehigh, by the way.
Okay. It's good,
CJ,
I guess.
CJ.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
Okay, so this might make Oregon fan feel better. This from someone who lived in Seattle from the years 2011 to 2013.
I know where they're going with this.
That's probably because you've read this.
No, but I'm guessing I know where they're going with this.
Oh, didn't even see it.
I haven't seen this.
Let me read it to you. I lived in Seattle from 2011 to 2013. Literally the same talk everyone is having now about Cristobal and Marcus Arroyo. The same line of thinking was going on about Peterson and Jonathan Smith. He says, relax, Oregon fans. You've got some good recruits coming in, and Herbert is most likely coming back.
There you go. I said I knew it was something along those lines. I didn't really think about the Jonathan Smith thing necessarily, but I thought they were going to talk about the Peterson, because when he got there, there were some Washington fans that were mildly underwhelmed. But, you know,
I remember he had some struggles early with some in-game situations.
Well, and Browning was the quarterback as a true freshman, and their offense was horrific. I mean, like, nightmarish bad.
Fire Peterson.
Yeah. No one was in that camp, but people were unhappy with the offense and Browning, and they did pull out of it, and they had a couple great years. And, you know, now Washington's catching some flack because they let Jonathan Smith go. And now I think is it Hamden, I think, is their –
sounds right.
Is their coordinator, and people are livid.
They don't like him.
No, and they shouldn't. Their offense is putrid, and it's way too talented to be this ordinary. And he's a Chris Peterson guy. I think he was a quarterback under Chris Peterson at Boise. He loves him. Has been brought up through the system, and so there's a belief that he won't get rid of him. And there's a lot of Husky fans that are not particularly happy about it.
So it's a race to see who may go first: Hamden at Washington or Arroyo at Oregon.
This conversation that we're having right now
is
on
happening
the air
up there.
Is happening right now up in Seattle, where they're looking around, being like, "Well, what the hell, right?" Mm. Except theirs is like, hey, we have the best defense in the conference. We're littered with all this talent around. In fact, it's probably worse up at Washington than it is at Oregon, because Washington has, well, they've had some injuries along the offensive line too, but there's NFL backs, there's NFL receivers, an NFL tight end, and a four-year starter at quarterback, and the offense stinks.
How dare you lose three games?
Yeah, people not happy about it.
My, how things have changed up
there.
Yeah,
it is. It's Bush Hamden is their offensive coordinator, and people want him gone. And it's not going to happen, because Chris Peterson is a loyal guy, and he has brought him up through the ranks.
Man, if Herbert doesn't come back and Arroyo is back as OC, I cringe to think what next year's frustration level is going to be like. Well, it's not going to be good, man.
No, and this idea that all these freshmen, they're going to come in and bail you out.
No, I know. I'm with you there. But, you know, it's the same thing.
It's going to take some time.
I think it's interesting to hear that it's going on with Washington, too, because I think when you want to be a good program to great program, You've got to be honest, man. It can't be about loyalty. It can't be about being stubborn or your ego or your friendships. You got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very interesting test of the same situation between a coach who's very, very well respected as one of the best in the country in Chris Peterson, and a coach who wants to get to that level in a young, unproven guy in Mario Cristobal. Will either one or both have that trait? Will they demonstrate that trait in order to keep their program moving forward? I think that's a fascinating question, because Cristobal could be very pigheaded about this.
Yeah.
And if he is, I think it's a grave mistake.
Well,
it's going to cost him, and it could cost him his job, because he knows you don't get long at this level.
No, but it's his guy, right? He made the decision, came along with him, and he's a great recruiter.
Yep.
And I don't think either one of them will make a change. It's only been 1 year. And honestly, I think the bigger one is in Washington. I think Washington has less of an excuse for how bad their offense has been at times than Oregon does.
Man, you got to, I don't know, got to make the move when you can, but we'll see what happens there. No changes in the top 10 this week. We will get the college football playoff rankings tomorrow. Shouldn't be any surprises, but with 2 weeks left, 4 of the 8 Power 5 divisions are up for grabs, and we'll go through that coming up next. It's 5:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're just 10 minutes away from Monday Club. We party. Yeah, I was looking here at the division races in college football because I saw that Northwestern is in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, they won their half of it. And then
how about that?
Ohio State, Michigan still to be determined on the other side.
So I was looking at each one of the races, and there's still a lot to play out over the last 2 weeks. You know, Bama, Georgia is going to be the title game in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson is in from the ACC Atlantic Division.
Who is it? I think Pitt, right, is in line for the other.
Yes, Pitt, and
which is so weird.
Virginia, so it could be Pitt or Virginia, and it is weird. The ACC Coastal, that's going to be a great game.
Well, you know, Clemson got upset. What was it? 2 years, I think the year Clemson won a national title, wasn't it Pitt that beat him at the end of the year?
I feel like they beat him at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it was early in the season.
It was early, but I think, you know, I don't know. I haven't watched
freaking
a lot.
Pitt.
I haven't watched
Pitt
a lot.
Pitt's not good.
Who's their coach?
Pitt's 6-4.
Narduzzi, former DC at Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State.
Pittsburgh's the same every year.
They beat Syracuse, Michael.
Whoa.
I'm well aware of that.
This year?
Yeah.
Yes.
44-37.
Or in double overtime, I think it was.
What the hell?
No, it didn't see OT. Just 44-37.
Mike.
They only lost. They went at Notre Dame.
I watched that game. It was very frustrating.
19-14.
What?
So, I mean,
they're not bad.
They did lose to Penn State 51-6. But
so they're bad. Wait, they're not bad. Wait, they're bad. Wait.
And UCF, Central Florida, beat them 45-14. But they appear to be playing better as of late.
Is it weird?
They're peeing better?
They're peeing.
That
they're
College Game Day chose the UCF game over Notre Dame Syracuse this week.
Say that again? Oh.
Who's Central Florida playing?
It's a conference game.
Oh, there's down there.
Yeah, yeah, they're giving them, they have to throw them a bone because they bitch.
So basically, that's what it is. Basically, Clemson wins the ACC.
Okay, wait. Hold on. So Bama, Georgia in the SEC title game.
Yeah.
Clemson is in one half of the ACC, and then the other is between Pitt and Virginia.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten, it is Northwestern and then either Michigan or Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that game is in Columbus. In the Pac-12, it is in the North, it's either Washington State or Washington. Or in the South, it's Utah, Arizona, or Arizona State.
Yeah. USC is eliminated, right? Now
yeah,
they're officially
out.
Done.
They're out. So in the South, it's Utah if they beat Colorado and Arizona State loses at least once. That's all that has to happen.
And Arizona State has Oregon and Arizona left.
Yep. And Arizona State, they have to win out. They have to win both of those games. Arizona wins the Pac-12 South if they beat Washington State and Arizona State.
Yeah.
And then they also need Utah to lose to Colorado. So Arizona's got the toughest road.
So more than likely, it's going to be Utah or Arizona State.
So if I told you, the Herminator, football's football,
yep.
had the beat on the Pac-12 South title, if I told you that in August when we were down at Pac-12 Media Day, you would have laughed at me.
That
was July, I guess.
I wouldn't have bought it. No.
No, you wouldn't have. Although at this.
If you would have told me they were 6-4 at this point of the year, I could have bought that. I just wouldn't have thought that 6-4 would be in line to win the South. Football's football.
Yeah, but you didn't think they were going to be 6-4.
No,
I thought this was going to be a train wreck.
I did
too.
I thought they'd be lucky to get to 500.
Football's football.
They are playing better. And
football is football.
They look good. They look good on both sides of the ball.
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
Football's football.
Football is
football's football.
And you should never forget that.
I apologize to Herm Edwards and his giant motivational pants.
The Big 12. Okay, so the Big 12 is kind of the fun one. They have four teams within one game. And remember, they don't have divisions.
No, and I think this, I wish everyone would do it this way, to be honest with you. I hate divisions. It sucks.
Yeah, I'm with you because it messes up the schedule.
Well, and if the two best teams are in the same side, they should get to play.
Yeah.
I hate this.
So this is, in the Big 12, the top two teams go.
Yeah.
Period. And right now there are four still in play. You've got Oklahoma, Texas, West Virginia, and Iowa State. And if you look at the schedules, Texas has the leg up because their remaining schedule, they play Iowa State at home, tough game, but they'll play that game at home, and then they're at Kansas.
And Oklahoma and West Virginia, I believe, finished the year with each other.
Yeah, they still have to play.
Yeah.
That's a tough game.
And so we may get, depending on what happens, you could get a rematch of that game in the Big 12 title game.
That's right. It's exciting. All right, tomorrow we'll have to get to some Bobby Petrino talk. He got fired.
Yeah, he did. And that's what
Louisville fired him.
That's what happens when you win two games and how quickly it fell off when Lamar Jackson left. And by the way, speaking of Texas, have you seen
Texas?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Texas because we were talking about the Big 12 there.
That's a pivot.
It is a pivot.
That's a radio pivot.
Well, I was going to mention it and then you pivoted too fast into the Louisville thing.
You pivoted because I pivoted.
Yes. I was ready to chime in
with double radio pivot.
Yes. I was going to go in with some hot Texas stuff.
So simple, it just might work.
You threw me a curveball. I tried to hit it back up the middle. The shift was on.
What if I pivot back to Jeff Brom going to Louisville? Now what are you going to do?
Have you seen any of the Zach Smith stuff that's going on?
Zach Smith, that guy?
That guy.
Wait, that has nothing to do with Texas.
It does. Because
are they gonna hire something
him?
To do with
they're going to hire him.
Their head coach.
No, he's going after Tom Herman, and it's bad.
Because Herman's the one that threw him under the bus.
Supposedly, at least that's what Zach Smith thinks.
Because Herman and Smith were boys when they coached at Ohio State together.
Yeah, and so Zach's, if you haven't paid attention to Zach Smith on Twitter, you should.
I need to get caught up
because he's sending out screenshots of text messages that he's sending to Tom Herman, and they're talking about he's accusing him of prostitution, Asian massage parlors,
so what?
All this stuff. And the best part is he's writing these big, long things. And Tom Herman's reply to him was, okay, cool, hook 'em horns. Zach Smith is threatening to go scorched earth on everybody. And it's like he's having a full-on meltdown.
If the worst thing you can say about a guy is he goes to
massage parlors.
So what?
Well, I think the point is that he's married and it's getting
the humanity.
It's getting personal.
Oh, God.
But it's fantastic. Like Zach Smith is trying to take down Tom Herman in any way he knows how.
Well, that will be fun. I'm going to get caught up on that tonight and perhaps we can reconvene on that tomorrow. Yeah, we can pivot.
Go look at his Twitter account because it's insane.
Do I need to follow Zach Smith?
You should. It's insanity, but it makes you chuckle.
Don't follow
him. I don't want to follow him.
But you can just keep tabs.
Yeah. I like that.
And why is Booger...
Bookmark his page.
Why is Booger McFarland still in that stupid chair down on the sidelines?
Yeah, at least they made it clear so fans behind him can see the game.
Lord. He's got his play sheet there.
I know. He's like belted in. He's like one of the... It's like an old person going up a flight of stairs.
Look at his little water bottle. Does he suck out that little straw?
Seriously, he's got a cup holder.
He's got a sippy cup.
Whoever thought this was a good idea should be fired.
You know who should be fired?
What?
You.
Really?
No. Just kidding.
All right.
So we'll get to more of college football talk tomorrow. Didn't even get to Jimmy Butler. We got to virtually no NFL.
No.
The Astros almost got Bryce Harper. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
But we've got a lot of sports to do tomorrow.
Good thing we have another show.
Yep.
And another one and another one.
Yep. But right now we must move on. Let's move on to the club hour. 6 to 7, I will talk about a skyscraper suspended by an asteroid. We have marriage news. And let's talk about Morrissey. You remember him?
I do remember him.
He's still around.
He's up to something.
Yeah, he's in the news. We'll get to that next on The Fan.